ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasana annyadanina. Remembering Krishna is so important that Krishna has been stressing that point all the while in the previous verses, and here again he stresses the same point. Like if you see the previous verse, he said, Mam Anusmara, go on remembering me. The verse before that, also he was talking about Smaran Bhavam. In Antakali Smame Vindakasa Smaran Muktva Kalevaram, he said. So here again, Krishna is stressing the same point. Anuchintayan, he says. Anuchintayan is saying remembering in a different way, same thing. Anuchintayan means also constantly thinking of or remembering Krishna. So Krishna is stressing the same point again, that one should always remember him. Abhyasa, this word you have heard earlier also in the 6th chapter, isn't it? Abhyasa yoga, what is it? No. Abhyasa yana tadanteya, vairagya yana chakrasyate. Two things he said, abhyasa and vairagya. That the meaning abhyasa means to follow the spiritual path according to the direction of Guru and Shastra. Chanting the holy name, and that's abhyasa actually, devotional service, ninefold path of devotional service. And vairagya means detachment from things that are unfavorable to devotional service. Here he is saying abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasana anyagamina. Here what he means here is, this abhyasa is practice of remembering Krishna. This is not the same abhyasa as it is said earlier. Here abhyasa yoga he means that one should cultivate remembrance of Krishna continuously. Ketasana anyagamina. One should not allow the mind to get distracted by any other thought. Na anya gamina. So, ananya bhakti we say, that is also na anya gamina. Ananya means thinking of Krishna only and not getting distracted to anything else. Earlier also we studied about how one's attention should be pinpointed and focused when one is doing yoga. That Krishna explained. Sanishchayena yoktavyo yogo nirvinna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamas dakva tarvana sheshatah manasaivendriya gramam vinyamya samantatah. He said, Sanishchayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa. Here he is saying chetasa na anyagamina, both are saying. Anirvinna chetasa means, anirvinna means not distracted. Without the chetana of the mind, not distracted, one should focus on me, he said. Here he is saying, Chetasa na anyagamina. And that is said, one needs determination for that. One has to have a firm faith and determination if one has to focus on Krishna in such a pinpointed way. Like you have seen the horses, when they go in the street, you have seen, they put this. Why they put this? Do you know why? Not get distracted. In the path of Krishna consciousness, one should go straight. In the path of Krishna consciousness, without getting distracted to the greenery on either side. There are so many different objects of sense gratification available for advancing devotee. But devotee doesn't pay any attention to them. He just goes on higher and higher in this Krishna consciousness. So for that one needs a very firm faith in Krishna, and also one needs determination. In fact, in such a path there is a possibility that one may sometimes start feeling a kind of weakness. Oh, I have tried so much, but I am not achieving the result. And one can get tired, But when we say sanishchayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa, that means that one should have a firm determination. One should be very sure that success is certainly going to come to me. Mr. Prabhupada writes that success is sure for a rigid practitioner. This is the promise of Prabhupada. One of his purports writes, success is sure for a rigid practitioner. If one practices rigidly, then one can achieve the ultimate result. But for one to follow rigidly, Rupa Goswami has given the formula. Three things are required: Utsaha, Nishchaya, Dhairya, and then other things. Tattva Karma Pravartana, Sangat Jala, everything. So we need enthusiasm, and we need determination, and we also need patience. So these three are very important qualities for one to remain fixed in the path and not get distracted and just go ahead. So this enthusiasm is certainly there in spiritual life, but what is anticipated is a steady enthusiasm. Sometimes, just like if somebody gets a new job in a company, how much eager you have to go to the job in the morning. Now you want to know, you know, what kind of job I am going to do, who are going to be my colleagues, what projects am I going to take up, and then you make a plan, I will grow in my job in this particular way. So you have a lot of enthusiasm. And then you join the company, you fit into the job, and then after some time, after a few months, after a few years, you get to know all the people, then gradually one loses the enthusiasm. The vigor is not there. After 3 years, generally a person working in the company becomes a little dull. But as somebody has joined recently, he comes with very dynamic plans and, you know, to completely revamp the whole department and do something very wonderful in the company. You have seen that? So this is material life. In material life, always we see that when something is new, it appears fresh. And after some time, it becomes dull. One becomes bored with that activity. That's why if somebody comes and gives you a gift pack, you would be packed with a golden ribbon and offers the gift to you. How much eagerness we have to see what is inside. The minute you break open it and see, and then after seeing the gift for some time, you get bored. This is material world. Gradually we become bored. You have seen it once, you want to see it twice, thrice, and what next? Finished. The charm that was there in the beginning before opening it is gone now. Similarly, enthusiasm generally fades in the material world, and this is the reason why people want to keep on changing things. Colgate plus, Colgate minus, Colgate plus plus. Why they introduce new things? Because generally the old things are considered to be useless. You get bored with them. Also the cinema songs also, they keep changing. People, they hear one song for some time and they get bored and they want to have a change of song. And new songs keep coming up. People get bored with them. So the enthusiasm decreases in the material world, generally with anything. With anything in this world, this is the nature of the material world. In the beginning it appears fresh and then gradually it fades. So similar thing could happen to someone in Krishna consciousness if one looks at Krishna consciousness with a material vision. Because when we have a material understanding, naturally thing will fade. So it's very important to know with what motivation have we come into the Krishna consciousness movement. If somebody has come just for fun, or somebody has come for some name and fame and prestige and status, or somebody aspires something material, then they will not find enthusiasm that is steady for a long time. They will be like this flower pot. As it comes now. In a lit of fire, it goes up and then it comes and then it is completely calm and settled. Similarly, in the beginning there is a great surge of enthusiasm. And then it's gone after some time. We find some devotees in the beginning when they join, they're chanting, dancing, going out and doing a lot of activities. And then after some months, you don't find them. They're missing. Similarly, you'll find, they show some enthusiasm for some time and they go away. But we need a very steady enthusiasm to pursue a path like this. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, one has to understand, although there may be many, many difficulties in this path, still this is the royal path that is tread by great saintly people in the past. Bahavo Jnana Tapasa, Krishna says. Many, many great sages and saints have treaded the same path of Krishna consciousness and have achieved perfection. And we are so fortunate that we are also put in the same path. So one should be very, very enthusiastic. So one needs the right kind of attitude to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we need an optimistic attitude to look at things. So if one is pessimistic, naturally he can find millions of faults. It's very easy to find millions of faults. But if one is optimistic, he will certainly cling on to things that are good and one will make a steady advancement. Like, you know, there are many example is given the metal is. If they ask you about the glass, you know, sometimes they do these things in the interview. You know. Somebody may say the glass is half full. Another person may say the glass is half empty. You know. So, they check the attitude of a person, how a person looks at things. So, great people don't see different things, but they see the same things differently, it is said. They learn to see the same things with a different type of vision, a different type of angle. So, Krishna consciousness also requires enthusiasm for one to see the positive things and go on advancing. We will find there are so many obstacles in the path, but one should not lose one's enthusiasm, because enthusiasm is like a fuel for the person to go on ahead and ahead. If one is sincere, then Krishna will give us things in our spiritual life that will give us energy more and more to continue with enthusiasm. We can see how wonderful is Krishna consciousness. One time in a city called Rotterdam. It's a Rotterdam, the name of the city is Rotterdam, and the whole city is like a rotten place only, because it's filled with people who are drunkards and smokers and all kinds of people. Once devotees went for book distribution there, one devotee on Brahmacharya from temple went. So just then a new devotee had joined the temple. He had joined us over 3-4 days ago. So he asked this temple devotee, "Can I also accompany you please? Please take me also out. I also want to be with you during distribution." So the temple devotee took him. So this devotee was given an apple for the breakfast in the morning, 2 apples for breakfast. So he ate one apple, and then he saw that the senior devotee is going out for distribution, so he took another apple with him in the hand. He didn't eat it. So when they were distributing books, this man saw a beggar in the street begging for something. So he took his knife and he cut the apple into 2 pieces, and he gave one piece to that beggar. And he told him, "Chant Hare Krishna," he told him. And the beggar chanted Hare Krishna. Just gave the piece of apple to him. And the beggar very happily accepted, saying Hare Krishna. So, I was hearing a lecture of Kalamakanand Maharaj, he was telling, just see how this new devotee, a 4-day-old devotee in the temple, is able to distribute human form of life to the beggar again, he said. Because simply by accepting that prasad and by saying Hare Krishna, one is assured of the human body in the next life. Because you already given him Ajnata Sukriti. So this is how Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. So one should understand the principles deeply and cherish them within one's heart. Then one can have enthusiasm. Otherwise, if enthusiasm is superficial, it will not last for a long time. We have to see the activities of devotees, we have to see the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to see the mercy that is coming down in this moment. Then one can deeply cherish it and also remain enthusiastic forever. Similarly, one needs determination. Determination like that sparrow. The sparrow laid her eggs and the ocean took it away. But the sparrow somehow or other wanted to dry up the ocean. Do you know what does the egg represent? Those eggs? That represents our Krishna consciousness. So our Krishna consciousness is taken away by the ocean of Maya. But can we dry up Maya in this world? It's not possible, even if we try like the sparrow. But by our sincere endeavor to wage a war against Maya and remain Krishna conscious, then like that Garuda, who was a senior bird, that's like our spiritual master. So Garuda became very pleased, and then he came for the help of this bird, sparrow. And then Garuda ordered the ocean to give back the egg. Similarly, it's possible for a spiritual master to order Maya to give back our Krishna consciousness. So a spiritual master can re-instill Krishna consciousness in our heart. It's possible. So one needs determination. Also the example of the Chakora Pakshi is given. The bird Chakora always hankers only for the waters in the sky. Although there is so much of water available everywhere, it doesn't drink any of those waters. It waits for the waters from the clouds. So we need determination. Also we need, most important of all, patience. Many people lose patience in spiritual life. They want quick result. Instant. Everything they want instant. Instant result. Chapram, he says, no, regarding the demigod Krishna is saying, Chapram hi manushe loke chittir bhavati karmaja. They want quick result in everything they do. And because of desires of quick result, many people actually fall away from the path. There's a story of a man who came to the desert. when you found some people lying in the oasis, you know what's oasis, no? Oasis is a place where there is some little water and there are some palm trees or some coconut trees. So this man came with a basket of varieties of fruits, and he found there were many people sleeping at the banks of this pond, and they were all fast asleep. And he woke them all up, wake up. And he woke up and he told them, just see, the coconuts available here are very limited. Anytime they will get over. And of course there is some water available, but how long can you stay here without any food? And if all the coconuts get over, what will you do? You will die. So better that you come with me. He in fact gave them fruits. Took from his basket and gave them all fruits. Distributed to them. And they all enjoyed the fruits. And some of them became inspired. They stood up immediately. They asked him, where did you get these wonderful fruits from? You have never enjoyed such fruits. So he told them, okay, come along with me. I'll take you. So he took them out of the oasis. And when he came out of the oasis, when some of them followed him, not everyone. I think I'll try to tell you parallelly what it means so that we will not study hard to relate it later. This oasis represents the material pleasures. You know, in the desert, it's like a desert, it's very difficult to cross over, but the oasis is like the material pleasures. You see, the coconuts are available, but then they are limited. Similarly, material pleasures are limited. At some time, the body will stop giving us such pleasures, which it is offering now, at the current moment. So the one who brought the basket of fruits, who is that? Is a spiritual master. He is bringing and distributing so many varieties of fruits from his basket, which is like the different types of mercy he gives to his disciples, in the form of kirtan, in the form of holy name, in the form of knowledge, in the form of his association. He gives so many wonderful things. So some people become inspired. Some become inspired by his singing, some become inspired by the philosophy. Different people become inspired by different things, and they start following him. So did everyone follow him? No. Some people are so lazy they didn't wake up only, even after waking up a lot. They were fast asleep. Some stood up but they were lazy to stand up. In this way, some people followed this man. And then when he was walking further, now they have left the oasis. Now they have come to the desert, which was very difficult. It was hot sand and it appeared like sand everywhere. How far will we have to walk? They were thinking. Similarly, when we leave the pleasures of the material world and we tread the path of Krishna consciousness, it may appear to be very dry and difficult after some time. In the beginning, it may be very enjoyable because one has just eaten the fruit. But after some time, one really needs stamina. You know the meaning of stamina? Stamina is not just strength. Stamina means something steadily. Steady strength is called a stamina. Like sometimes you find people, you know, when they go in 800 meters running, in the beginning you find somebody is taking the lead. And after some time, what do you find? He's the last person. Those who are steady runners, they know very well. They know that in the beginning they will not run fastly. They'll gradually pick up. And then they know towards the end only they'll pick up full speed, isn't it? Similarly, slow and steady wins the race, he says, isn't it? So the amount of steadiness is required. Sthairyam. Krishna uses the word sthairyam in Bhagavad Gita. Sthairyam means steadiness. So, people in the beginning they showed enthusiasm, but then after some time they saw, oh, it is so difficult. And they didn't follow this man. After some time they said, better we return back to the oasis. Some people went back. And there were some who followed him. And still they continued to walk. And the path was certainly very difficult. And then midway when they were walking, on either side they found some oasis. On left and right side. So they asked the man, this the owner of fruits, they asked him, oh, this is the place you were telling us? And he said, no, that's not the place. Please don't look there. Go straight. He told them. What was those places? There are heavenly planets. There is puja, lab, pratishta. As you grow in society, you will get a lot of respect. They will make you sit on this. And they'll put a garland. And they'll call you Prabhu. You will get all this. And still you have to tolerate all these things. The respect that is given to you. And one shouldn't become heated up. One's head should not get filled with steam. One shouldn't become heavy-headed by the respect and love offered by others. So in this way, they saw, some of them saw voices on either side, they left this man and they started running there. In this way, they lost his company. This man further was leading them and going ahead. Very few people were left with him. And then those people are also getting very tired. They would fall on the ground, again they would wake up, they would walk with him. But what they had was this strong faith in that person, that he is certainly going to take us to the place which we wanted to reach. They have firm faith in him. Similarly, disciple needs a firm faith in the spiritual master. Even you ask business people, they'll tell you, if you want to achieve success in business, you have to keep the ultimate goal in the eye of your mind. Like I said, you have to keep the ultimate goal in the eye of your mind, whatever you want to achieve. Why? Because the process is not very easy, but the goal is very pleasurable, isn't it? The goal, for example, say a businessman wants to become a millionaire. He wants to be a millionaire. So just imagine for a moment, how will it look like if you are a millionaire? What kind of house you will have, what kind of car you will have, what facilities you will have, it's very enjoyable. But what does it take to achieve that? That is very difficult. So businessmen always keep the ultimate goal in the eye of their mind. Similarly, Krishna conscious devotee should always keep the ultimate goal of attaining Krishna Loka, Krishna's lotus feet and Krishna's association, in the eye of his mind. One should always remember that Krishna is actually waiting to meet me. Like the Gopa Kumar, he went all around the world. He went to heavenly planets, he came to the earth, he went in search of his friend Krishna. At last, when he arrived at the spiritual world, far away, Krishna was coming, returning home in the evening, along with his covered boyfriends and the cows and calves. So he saw Gopa Kumar at a distance, and he left all his friends and the cows and everything, and he came running towards that Gopa Kumar. And he came and he embraced him, and he shed so much tears from his eyes, he bathed Gopa Kumar with tears. And he told his friend, "My dear friend, I have been waiting to meet you for so long. Why did you go so long? See, all our friends are waiting to meet you," he said. Similarly, it's not only with that one Gopa Kumar, it is with every one of us that Krishna is eager to meet us. Krishna actually wants us to be back with him, to join the eternal Leela in the spiritual sky. So if one keeps this in the eye of his mind, or her mind, by keeping this, then one will be able to very enthusiastically remain steady in spiritual life. Determination will be there. So these people, they had tasted the fruits and they were ready. Yes, we want these fruits and we are ready to put in any amount of effort that might be required to ultimately achieve this. Come what may, one is ready to do that. You see, some people are determined in business, you have seen that. Sometimes they miss the lunch also in the afternoon. When a good client comes and you can make a good money, sometimes they skip the lunch and they go on doing the job till 4, 4:30. After the job is done, take a big breath and then they remember the lunch bag. Oh, where is my lunch bag? I forgot to eat my lunch today. You have experience of this? Isn't it? In the same way, if one is Krishna conscious and is enthusiastic, one should be ready to extend oneself and remain with full determination. In fact, for a practicing transcendentalist, you know what should be the determination he should have? He should be ready to practice Krishna consciousness for several lifetimes. That means our faith should go across several lifetimes, not only in this life. Not that, okay, I will have faith till the end of this life, some or other, and then I will go back to Krishna. Not like that. It may take as many lifetimes. This is the meaning of a yogi. Yogi means one whose faith goes for several lifetimes. He knows, what is my ultimate goal? To put my best efforts for achieving Krishna in this life. And if I don't achieve him, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, at least let me become a small ant or a worm in the house of a devotee. Because if I keep crawling there, the devotee may eat something and leave some remnants here and there. I will get the remnants of his prasadam. And in this way, I can also become a devotee. He prays like that. So, a devotee's aspiration is that always let me utilize all the resources Krishna has given in his service. So, these people are following that man very faithfully. And after treading that most difficult path for a long time, as the Shastra said, Shurasya Dada Nishta Durashaya Durgam Patastat Kavayo Vadanti, he said. This path is like walking on a razor's edge. Because you follow strict regulative principles, and we take vows in front of the spiritual master, fire, and deities, and Vaishnavas, everyone. So this path is like walking on a razor's edge. But of course, if you cross this, then what is awaiting is very wonderful. Just like if somebody has long beard, long hair, so he looks very, very ugly, but he needs a sharp razor to shave it, isn't it? So once you have the sharp razor, you can completely shave and you can be clean shaved. But then if somebody says, oh, how can I use a razor? It will cut my cheeks. I'm afraid, let me not use it. Then you have to maintain all this ugly looking beard and mustache and hair and everything. So our material desires are like this. Material desires are like hair, like mustache and beard and hair like that. So we have to cut them, then we need a strong path, which is like the walking on razor's edge, spiritual life. That is why it is a kshurasyadara nishitadurashaya durgam padasat kavyavarat. So these people were treading that path behind the man, and then at last at one point they felt a cool breeze coming, and they asked their master, "Oh master, what is it? Till now it was so hot, now it is so soothing, and we are able to feel the pleasant experience of some breeze." Then the master said, "Oh, don't worry. Now we are very close to the destination," he said. Similarly, in spiritual life also, it is said, it is bhajan in the beginning, nectar at the end. I was telling one of our devotees, like I was telling our Ghanashyam Prabhu, in the temple when he had come just the first day, please remember, it's not very easy to stay in the temple. If you have to stay in the temple, there are strict rules and regulations. You have to wake up every morning and you have to follow these four regulative principles. So he told me, although you are calling them as rules and regulations, I don't see them as such. And you are prohibiting me from certain things, but I don't see them as deprivation. Rather, I see them as positive tools for enhancing my Krishna consciousness. So similarly, for some people the spiritual life appears bitter in the beginning, but finally it becomes nectar at the end. So both the paths are mentioned. Yadadakri amritamiva parinama vishameva. The sense-dedicatory path is nectar in the beginning, paathan at the end. Whereas the path of spiritual life is paathan in the beginning, nectar at the end. So these people had to endure so much difficulty, but then ultimately they could feel the cool breeze coming. And then their master took them into that garden which was orchard, full of varieties of trees and varieties of fruits and everything, which represents the spiritual world. So spiritual master is actually capable of taking us back home, back to Godhead, if we faithfully fulfill his instructions. This is the meaning of Chetasana Anyagamina. Without getting distracted, one should faithfully follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So we need patience also. Like many of these people lost patience and they stayed behind. Only a few followed. So we need patience. Utsaha nishchaya dhairya. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa na anyagamina. Paramam purusham divyam. Divyam means divine, transcendental. Yadi parthana chintayan. Chintayan means think, or remember. Anuchintayan means constantly think. Smara means remember. Anusmara means go on remembering. So here also Krishna is saying Yadi parthana chintayan. So one should go on remembering Krishna. If you see the purport, Prabhupada writes one nice sentence here. You see fourth line from the bottom. The mind is fickle and therefore it is necessary to engage the mind by force to think of Krishna. One example often given is that of the caterpillar that thinks of becoming a butterfly and so is transformed into a butterfly in the same life. Similarly, if we constantly think of Krishna, it is certain that at the end of our life we shall have the same bodily constitution as Krishna. So by thinking of Krishna constantly, we also get a divine body. We also get a transcendental body. So it depends on what we think of. As we said in the earlier verse also, Sada tad bhava bhavitaha, Krishna said. Sada tad bhava bhavitaha means, whatever bhavana you cultivate, you get the same bhavana. Like in America, they give a prize in one particular type of competition, where there is a good matching between the man's face and his dog's face. Actually people, they look at their face in the mirror and then they buy the dogs from the market. It is very similar looking. So anybody who has the best match, master's face and the dog's face, then they are given the prize like that. So really actually people, by their own life, they are creating the next body. Somebody who is living like a dog actually is becoming a dog. Probably he will become the offspring of the dog in the next life. He may look very similar to the dog. Similarly, sada tad bhava bhavita means whatever bhavana we cultivate, that body only we get. And it is very easy to see. As we say, no, jaita sang vaitarang, we say, no, whatever association you give yourself, accordingly one goes in that direction. Either one can become like pigs and dogs, or one can elevate one's consciousness. Krishna says in several places in Bhagavad Gita, don't degrade yourself in this human form of life. He says, not using this mind, one should not degrade oneself, rather one should elevate oneself. So if our consciousness matches with those in the spiritual world, then we will be elevated. So thinking of Krishna constantly keeps one's mind spiritual. That's why Prabhupada calls this moment, as Krishna consciousness moment. So that bhavana or Krishna consciousness is what is given important. Parthana chintayam. Paramam purusham, he is saying. Paramam purusham divyam, the supreme personality of Godhead who is divine and transcendental, whose body is not material, like ordinary living beings. In the next verse, Krishna is describing who is that Paramam Purusham. In what way that Paramam Purusham should be remembered. So text number 9 to 13, practicing remembrance of Krishna through meditation. Text number 9 to 13. Practicing remembrance of Krishna through meditation. So till now, having established that one who meditates on Krishna is sure to reach him, now Krishna is explaining how to meditate on him. This all I say. Kavim Puranam Manushasitaram. Anoraniyam Samanusmaritya. Sarvasya Dhataram Achintarupam. Aditya Varnam Tamasah Parastha. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and he is transcendental beyond this material nature. Remembering Krishna means remembering his qualities. And such qualities do not arise from void. Actually, qualities are present in the person. So Krishna is a person. So in many previous classes we have discussed about remembering Krishna, how the gopis remembered Krishna, how Akkura remembered Krishna, how Uddhava remembered Krishna. We have discussed that. So remembering Krishna and his pastimes is certainly a very elevated platform. One cannot discuss Rasa Leela, Krishna's Rasa dance, and such activities of Krishna directly before knowing one's greatness. So one has to know the person's greatness, otherwise you can't appreciate these things. That's why if somebody is diseased, he cannot eat palatable items like, you know, gulab jamun, rasagulla, that he cannot eat. Even if he eats, first of all, it won't be tasty on one hand. On the other hand, when it goes to the stomach, it can create more trouble. Like somebody has got a terrible disease, his body is having a big, big boil in his body, then the doctor may have to give some medicine to remove that pus and then cure him completely. Then when a person is free from disease, then he can consume such things. Similarly, before hearing Rasa Leela, one has to be given the surgery treatment. That's very important. To make one know who God is, what is his greatness. First you understand a person's greatness, and then when you understand how simple he is and what are his qualities, then one can appreciate it better. That's like if a say major general in NCVC, in Pune now it's NCVC, major general in army, he's the number one man, isn't it, in the entire battalion in Pune camp. So if he is wearing a uniform with several stars, with several striped colors, with so many, you know, tapes or something coming out of his pockets, you know, and he is wearing a cap and is dressed very beautifully, and there are hundreds of servants who are saluting him and giving him respect. So you understand how great is the person. But if the same person invites you to his house, when you go to his home, then he removes all the dress and he just wears a lungi and just one, you know, he puts a towel on his shoulders. And then he's sitting with you and he's patting you and talking. How do you feel? You actually understand the greatness of the person first, isn't it? And you feel very fortunate to have the association of such a person who was earlier in that dress. So Krishna also, not only himself in Bhagavad Gita, even if you read Bhagavatam also, first 9 cantos talk about the greatness of Krishna, what kind of person is he? And then in the 10th canto we study, and Krishna is educating very closely with his devotees. Then one can respect Krishna. That there is a verse of one great Vaishnava poet. He is singing, Shrutim Mapare, Shrutim Itre, Bharata Manye, Bhavanta Bhayabhitam, ஆனகானந்தம் வந்து ஜஸ்தானந்த பரபிரம்மா. He is saying there are many people who read the smritis and shrutis and try to study the greatness of Krishna. But myself, for myself, ஆனகானந்தம் வந்து, he says, I worship that Father Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard my Supreme Lord Krishna is playing like a child. So he is actually personifying Krishna in that way. So great devotees, they don't like this aspect of Krishna. And the aspect of Krishna where it is given an awe and reverence, like the description of Virat Purusha, like all the demigods offer the prayer, you know, Sahasrashisha Purusha Sahasraksha Sahasrapa. So this is actually offered in the mood of great reverence and veneration. So the impersonalists as well as the yogis, they like this kind of descriptions very much. That is why this verse is actually given to whom? For jnanis and yogis. Yoga Mishra Bhaktas and Jnana Mishra Bhaktas. For them this verse is given. Where Krishna is talking about his aspect, the mood of awe and reverence. Aishwarya. He's talking about the Aishwarya. In fact, if you carefully observe the jnanis and yogis, they always talk about energy more than the energetic. They talk more about the Krishna's energy. They always adore the energies of Krishna rather than to adore the person who is behind those energies. Just like if you go to the house of Tata or Villa, you may see a pen holder. You may say, oh, just see how beautiful. So delicate is the pen holder. Oh, just see the pen. It's like a golden pen. Just see his spectacles. It's like, you know, like blue tainted or brown tainted with golden frame. How wonderful it looks. You just look at his shoes. So you may see different things that belong to Tata and Villa. But these are just his energies. If these energies are so great, how great the person must be. Who possesses all these energies. In the same way, there are innumerable energies of Krishna that Krishna has displayed in this whole creation. But here, for the sake of Yoga Mishra and Jnana Mishra Bhakta, Krishna is telling, understand who am I? Understand what is my greatness? Then you can bow down to me. So this way Krishna is describing his own qualities here. Kavim. Kavim means the one who knows everything. The word Kavi is used in scriptures very freely in many, many places. Kavi also represents one who is a very learned person, one who is a buddhiman, one who is very thoughtful and wise, one who knows the difference between matter, spirit and God. He knows the differences very well. And he will not indulge in any foolish act very easily. A very thoughtful person is called as Kavi. In many places it's used. That is Kavita. Yeah. But the word Kavi is also used. Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kavaye. For Brahma the word Kavi is used. And also Adikavi. Adikavi is Brahma. The first learned person in the creation. Also the word is used. Atat Kavir Namas Yavadanta Chada Pramatto Vyavasaya Buddhi. Atat Kavir Namas. The people who are Kavi are learned people. They will not work very hard simply for accumulating material prosperity. Rather, they will decline from working hard in those occasions which will not bear Krishna conscious fruit. When they know something is fruitful in respect to Krishna conscious, then they will work hard in that direction. Similarly, there are many verses. Anybody else can quote any of the verses? There are 4 or 5 verses. Tatseva Heto Praiteta Kovido, that's Kovida. Sakavi. There are many more. Shurastadara. Shurastadara and Shitadarashaya. Durgam Padastat Kavayo Vadanti. There are the word Kavaya, he said. After that, another word. Tasangam Ajaram Pasham. Atmana Kavayo Viduhu. There are the word Kavi is used. Tasangam Ajaram Pasham. Atmana Kavayo Viduhu. Tasangam Ajaram Pasham means the attachment to this material world is like a strong cord or a rope. It's very difficult to cut. Atman Kaviyog, the learned people consider it like that. The learned person can see such subtle truths which cannot be seen by a common man. He is the meaning of a Kavi. Kavi is one who can see through like with an X-ray vision, things which a common man cannot see. So all these verses talk about Kavi. But then the Shastras say even such Kavi sometimes get bewildered. He says, you know, Kim Karma Kim Adharmeti Kaviyopi Atra Mohitaha. He says, Kaviyopi Atra. Even the Kavi, such a learned person, can get bewildered when in explaining about what is karma and what is akarma and what is vikarma. Sometimes even very learned people can get troubled there. But Krishna is not such a kavi. Krishna is a kavi who knows everything about everyone. He knows in and out of everyone. In fact, when we leave this body, when we die, the naked soul comes out and is carrying a burden of his sensual activities and past activities. Who knows about all of that? Only Krishna knows. Krishna knows everything. And he knows where are we destined to go, what will be our next body. So we are accountable for everything that we do. God knows everything. Actually, we know only very little bit about ourselves. If you ask any one of you here, if you ask us, Ramanan, how many hairs do you have on your head? Can you say? You can't. It's your own body, you can't say, isn't it? Any of us, it's not possible. Why? I was telling the example for Paramatma also, isn't it? So Paramatma knows everything. So there are so many things happening in our own body, and this body belongs to us, but we do not know. So many things happening in this body. How the blood is generated in the heart, and it goes to the head, it goes to the leg, and how the other activities are taking place in the body, we have no control actually. So Lord, when we say he is a Kavi, he is a knower of everything, every individual living being in this creation. So when we know somebody is a knower, then how do we look at him? Naturally, we fear that person, isn't it? Oh, if he knows everything about me. Like many of us, we know something about ourselves which others do not know. We all have a dark side and a bright side. So we always try to, you know, present the bright side in others' friend. Look at this, I have this, I have that. But dark side, maybe one or two of your friends may know or nobody may know. Only you may know. But Krishna knows our dark side too. He knows our bright side, he knows our dark side. He knows us inside out. So in front of such a kavi, we cannot stand. So that is his greatness. Puranam. Puranam means the oldest. You know, when somebody is old, then they are very much respected. Like in village, you see the sarpanch, they wear a big turban and give the panchayat. In panchayat, they give the judgment. So they are greatly respected for their maturity and their worldly wisdom. So they know the world, they have seen the world, they have seen so many cases, and they can give a good judgment, and people have faith in them. That's why sometimes we find even when they put hoardings in the ashram, they say 120th year running or 100th year running. Why they put that? To increase the credibility in the people's eyes. The more years a company has spent, the more they have gained experience. Even universities, say, you know, like Cambridge or Oxford, or even in India, many colleges have been there for 200 years or 150 years or whatever. So the more they get old, the more they are seen with eyes of credibility. Similarly, in Madras, there is one Adyar. You know Adyar, banyan tree in Adyar? Yeah, there is a banyan tree which spreads out several kilometers, you know. How many years it's old? 500 years old, he's saying. So people come to see the 500 year old tree. But in America, there are redwood trees which are like 5,000 years old. 5,000, 6,000 years old, there are trees. So when something is very old, people come to see it. Because it has been there, existing for so long, so many years. So Puranam, when Krishna says he is Puranam, he is the oldest, he is telling us that he is the oldest to make us know that he existed at a time when nothing else in this world was existing. He was the one who created the world, and everything came into being. And he has seen everyone taking different bodies and living beings moving here and there. He has seen everything. He is the oldest. Amongst Christians, when they treat God to be the oldest man, then they put him a big beard, white beard, thinking that he is the oldest man. He must be certainly having a long white beard because of his old age. But Krishna is not such a Puranam. He is not such an old man. It is an Adyam, Purana Purusham, Avayavanam Cha, it is said. Yes, he is the oldest. Yet he is the youngest. He is like an ever fresh youth. So when Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, how old he was? About 120 years old, but he looked like that 16 year old lad. He looks like that. He looked like a very young boy. So this is the kind of Puranam Krishna is. He is the oldest, but he is very young and fresh. Anushasitaram, it is. Anushasitaram means the controller. Shastra, means those injunctions which regulate and control the lives of people, that is Shastra. Shastra of the weapon with which you can control others. That is why this word, there is one more word, Shiksha also. There is one more word, like Shastra, Shastra, Shasan. Also, Shasan means rules or control. So he says, Anushasitaram, I am the controller. So when someone is a controller, naturally, how do you know someone is a controller? If you make some rules, if you don't follow them, then you will be punished. Then you can understand, yes, there is some control here. Such a control exercise. Or, because of the control, there are people who are subordinate to him. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, Yatādāvo nasi prūtās dantyām baddhāścha namabhi, it is said. All the people of this world are actually controlled by the words of the Vedas, it is said, in a positive way. In what sense? That everyone in this world, like a cow, you know, cow is tied with the ropes in the mouth, you know, and even a farmer's son can pull the cow. Similarly, every living entity is bound by the injunctions of the scriptures, it is said. And as long as they follow the scriptures, they are very safe. Once they don't follow, immediately they will be punished. Just like, you know, India-Pakistan border, there is BSF, Border Security Force standing. If a Pakistani tries to enter India, what will happen? Immediately the pattern punished. People right now, trespassers will be prosecuted, right now. In the same way, Krishna's rules are there in the form of Shastra. So he is the supreme controller. Anushasitara, Anor Aniyamsam. He is the smaller than the smallest like an atom. Anor Aniyamsam. Smaller than the atom. Like, you know, always you have to give some little example to explain a thing. And how big is that person? Oh, he's like an elephant. Then he can make a guess. How tall he must be. How small is he? Oh, he's like a grasshopper or whatever. You know. He's skinny like a grasshopper or whatever. Somebody here, they said, Anor Aniyamsam. He is smaller than the smallest. It is said, Anior Aniya, Mahator Mahiya. It is said, Krishna can be smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. Anusmaritya, once you think of Krishna like that. Sarvasya Dhataram. Sarvasya means maintainer of everything. Krishna is the upholder and maintainer of everything. That's it. As it is said, Nityo Nityanam, Chetana Chetananam, Yeko Bhagunam, Yo, Vidadhati, Kaman. Vidadhati means one who maintains everyone and everything in this world. In fact, he is the one who holds all the planets. Kama Vishali Bhutani Dharayami. I am holding the planets and I am nourishing all the living entities within the planets. Achintya Rupam. Achintya means inconceivable. Rupam means a form. So Lord, you are saying that I am Achintya, I am inconceivable, but yes, I have a Rupam also. I have a form also. Don't think that because I am inconceivable, I cannot be seen or I don't have any form. I still have a form. As I said in Ishapanishad, that's a very nice verse in Ishapanishad. Hiranmayena Patrena Satyastha Vihitam Mukham. It says Hiranmayena Patrena. Hiranmaya means golden, dazzling effulgence. But here he says Aditya Varnam. Next he says Hiranmaya means Aditya Varnam, golden color. So the devotee is praying, my dear Lord, your face is covered with golden color, dazzling effulgence, Brahma Jyoti. Hiranmayena Patrena Satyastha Abhihitam means closed, covered. Abhihitam Mukham. Tattam Pushanna Pabuno Satya Dharmaya Dishti. Please remove the covering, dazzling effulgence, so that I can behold your beautiful face, he is praying. So here, Lord is saying that I have a Rupam, but Jnanis don't understand that. Jnanis think that I am impersonal. But Lord says, this impersonal aspect is subordinate to me. As he says in the 14th chapter last verse, Brahmanohi Pratishtaha. I am the support of the Brahmana. I am the support of the impersonal Brahman. Lord says in the last verse of the 14th chapter. In the same way here he says, I have Achintya Rupam, I am inconceivable, yet I have a form. So Lord is confirming the Rupam. Ishara Parana Krishna Satyidananda, Vigraha means form. Lord is a Vigraha, Lord has a Rupam. Aditya Varanam means golden. Shruti Madras also glorify him like this. Vedagametam Purusham Mahantam, Aditya Varanam Tamasattu, Aditya Varanam Tamasat Parastat, Tameva Vidvanati Matyametinan, Japanta Vidyate Ayanay, it is said. Vedagametam Purushamahantam, Aditya Varanam Tamasat Parastat. The Lord, what is the golden dazzling effulgence? This is shining glow of Lord's body. In fact, it is said, Yachakshuresha Savita Sakala Grihanam, it is said, no? The sun, which is considered the eye of the spiritual world, of this material world, that sun, where does it derive its light? Yachakshuresha Savita Sakala Grihanam Raja Samasta Suramo Hirashesha Teja Tasyakaya Dhamati Sambrita Kala Chakra Govindama Abhipurusham Namanam Kaya. So the sun, it runs by the instruction of Krishna, and sun also derives its light only from the original Brahman, which is the effulgence of Krishna's body. Tamasa Parasar and beyond darkness, Krishna says. So in this way, Krishna gives different ways to meditate upon him. For the yogis and jnanis, for the yoga mishra bhaktas and jnana mishra bhaktas. So that by meditating upon Krishna's greatness like this, then they will come to a point of understanding Krishna's most confidential aspect, which he discloses only to his intimate devotees, bhaktas. So the yogi can also come to the platform, but not now. At this stage, the yogi is supposed to think of Krishna's greatness. And then, when one matures in this realization, then one can take part in the conscientious pastimes of Krishna. Hare Krishna. He is asking, concentrating on the Vishwarupa, Virat Rupa, is it superior to concentrating on impersonal Brahman? Actually, impersonalists only do that. Impersonalists, they meditate on the Virat Rupa, because they want to have some form for worship. Because it is difficult to meditate on something impersonal, so they take this Virat Rupa. Prabhupada writes about Virat Rupa, that that's also material. He writes in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Virat Rupa, what is Virat Rupa? You know, all the trees are compared to the hairs on his body, all the mountains are compared to the bones, rivers are compared to veins. So the whole material cosmos, even scientists have understood now, scientists are saying this, earth itself is like an organism. Earth is not some dead substance, earth is an organism. So this is one of the most recent developments in science, where they talk about how the whole universe is also a living body. Like, we have a material body, inside it there is a soul. So the universe also is a living body in which there is super soul. So that will bring out many interesting conclusions. I think we will be discussing it in one of the future verses. So impersonalists only meditate on Virat Rupa for gaining concentration. It's not that one takes always several lifetimes to achieve Krishna. It's not necessary. There are souls who have achieved Krishna in one lifetime. There was a Katwanga, Raja. 1 minute he thought of Krishna, he went back to Krishna. It depends on the intensity of our thought, how one remembers Krishna's intensity. So since the devotee can achieve Krishna in this very life, but otherwise, the scriptures do not consider our material success to be success at all. Because all those things are stripped off at the time of death. See, unfortunately, due to our blind vision, one tends to think these material facilities are mine. Like Prabhupada tells the story, one man went to a hotel to stay, So he paid the amount for 3 days. And he stayed there and then he told, what is this floor? Doesn't have any blanket, it is very cold, Then they brought a thick, nice velvet blanket for him, so that he can have a warm blanket. And he demanded hot water in the sink, They gave him hot water also. And he demanded them to put a television, for seeing news and other things. So they gave him all facilities, So after 3 days, this man became so attached to the room there, and the boy came to send him out. So he said, no, I'm not going to leave. He said, I like this place very much, I'm going to stay here forever. And the boy went and reported to the owner. So the owner came with 2 gundas. Then they pulled them out of the room. Similarly, Krishna sent Yamadutas to get people out of their bodies. They don't want to leave. So he removed them. He was removed. So this man had a nice thick weather blanket, he had hot water in the sink, he had all facilities, television, but he had to leave it and go. Similarly, we may accumulate so many facilities and think these are mine. But actually people think these are success in life. People think if you had a good career, you had a good bungalow, car, all facilities, then people think you are a success. But time will tell what is success. When the right time comes, one has to leave everything and go. So what do you grasp in hand when you leave the body and go? Only the bhakti that you perform for Krishna. So depending on how much piety you have performed, how much Krishna conscious you are, that is the only thing that we carry with us. Of course, the results are for sinful activities also we carry. And we don't carry anything. Bhagavatam is very strong in these things. Srimad Bhagavatam says, A man who works very hard to earn money by fair or foul means, the money remains behind and the very same money sends him to hell. Bhagavan says that. Either you give up money or money gives you up. Either of the two is going to happen in this world. Sure shot. There's no doubt about that. So success, at least in the scriptures, is not counted in terms of one's fame and name in the world, which will actually mix with the science of time. You know, as time passes, you know, where is Napoleon Bonaparte, where is Hitler, where are they all gone? Of course, people are remembering them now. One big prayer will come and they will be gone forever. In the next kalpa, you know, when maybe even after a few hundreds and thousands of years, these names will be gone also. Nobody will even remember the name. So the name and fame and the material possessions we accumulate, these are not considered success according to Shastra. Of course, if one has Krishnabhaja's wisdom and devotion in heart, that is considered the wealth. See, Kodavija Sridhar was living in a thatched roof. No? The roof had many, many holes. And he was wearing dhoti, which had more holes than his roof. And he had actually tied them together. You know, he was very, very poor. No, he could not even stitch them. So he lived a very, very poor life. So he was a banana leaf seller. So Chaitanya told him, he has the greatest wealth in the whole world. So his only wealth was he was constantly chanting Krishna's name. All the time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Absorbed in Krishna's names. Anybody who would go to his house, when they would pass by, they would hear Krishna's names. In fact, whole night he would be chanting constantly Krishna's names. He was such a great lover of Krishna. In fact, the neighbors would become so angry with him, they would throw rotten tomatoes. They would throw rice into his house, saying that it seems this fellow is too hungry, he is shouting all night. Let him eat this and keep quiet. It was like this. So this Balaji Sridhar was a great devotee of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared to the world how he loved him so much for his devotion to Krishna. This is actually the real wealth. That's why the word Nishkinchana, the Kinchan means something. Nishkinchana means one who doesn't have anything, is called Nishkinchana. But Krishna Chaitanya translates this word Nishkinchana as one who doesn't have something. One who has everything. That every, who is everything? Vasudeva. Yeah. So Krishna is everything. So Nishkinchana devotee is one who possesses only Krishna, one who gives Krishna to others, one who cherishes Krishna in his own heart, one who absorbs in the remembrance of Krishna. This is actually the only wealth. So this is some wealth that one can be proud of, one can be thankful of, grateful of. Because you know, all the other things, has, what is the song? In Govinda Das song, it says, no? Yejana Yavana Putra Parijana. Yejana Yavana. Putra Parijana Ekaiki Achi Parijana. You sing that song? You have the book? Yeah.